Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, please. Probably last night or perhaps this morning we set our clocks forward. Hopefully we did it last night. Daylight savings time comes around each spring. And of course we fall back in the fall. There's not much we can do about time. It's going to pass regardless of what we do. We can set our clocks up an hour or two, or we can set them back 2 hours. It's going to take its course because God has set in order certain things, and we realize that. That's one reason why we're here tonight, understanding that God is real, He's eternal, He's alive, and it is in Him that we live and move, or have our very being. And the fact is that life's uncertain, James 4:13-15. It's unsure, it's uncertain. We need to make the most of it in serving God. As you think about life and the fact that today we moved our clocks forward, daylight savings time, we did that to match the times in which we live. And the times in which we live are really no different than what any other generation of people have lived in. Man has always faced temptation. Man has always had times when there was happiness, when there was times of sadness, when there have been peace, and there have been war. And so we go through our period of time with our generations, however how long we live. How we use our time is of the utmost importance. The Bible has much to say about life and the proper use of our time. It also has quite a bit to say about the times and the seasons. Let's read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We've just studied this a few weeks ago in Jan's Wednesday evening class concerning time. And we know there's things that we cannot change, but there is some things we can change, and that is how we live our life. Our attitude toward God, our attitude toward His Word, our attitude toward the church, our attitude toward others, our attitude toward ourselves, our attitude toward life in general, and our attitude toward death. So what are we doing with our time? That's of utmost importance. And so this evening, let's look at 3 points concerning the times of life. Really, life could be categorized as good, bad, and in between, because that's what it's all about. We have good times, bad times, and then those times that's kind of in between for most everyone. Times of trouble, perilous times. Go to Job chapter 1. Most all of you are familiar with Job and the information we receive about this man. Beginning in verse 1 of Job chapter 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. That verse tells us quite a bit about Job, and it lets us know that certainly in regard to times and seasons and what he was doing with his time, apparently he was using his time wisely. He feared God. He was upright. And he used his time not only wisely in serving God, and he was an upright man, but he must have used his time right because he had a lot of holdings. He was a rich man. Let's look at verses 13 through 22, and we see that although Job was a man who was blameless, upright, and feared God and shunned evil, and he had a lot of possessions that did not keep him from facing troublesome times, perilous times. Verse 13 of Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Really, when you look at those verses, as soon as he heard one thing, he was told another. Bad news on top of bad news. I would consider that some troublesome times. It'd be a hard day, wouldn't it? It'd be a difficult day. It'd be a tough day. Look at verse 20, what Job did during troublesome times. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshiped. Now, the human side of it is, and when perilous times come, troublesome times come, sometimes it hits us like a ton of bricks. Literally. It just knocks the breath out of us, knocks our feet out from under us. What do we do? Well, sometimes people want to blame God. Why is this happening to me? Sometimes people question, what's the need of even doing anything good or trying to do what God wants? Why is all this happening to me? But look what Job did. From a human side, Job was hit just like we are. And he said in verse 21, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One thing Job knew in regard to all that he had and what he had just lost, and from a human standpoint, it hit him hard, but he knew that it came from God to begin with. And even though these were things that anyone would hate to lose and would hate to hear of happening to them, Job was a man who still had his faith in God. In verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we look at the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy regarding perilous times that may come. To those who are Christians, to those who teach the gospel, to those who try to live right, to those who try to defend the truth. Perilous times may come in that regard also. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and it goes all the way through chapter 4 and verse 8. But I just want to read the first few verses of chapter 3 and to get the idea of what Paul's telling Timothy. As a young preacher, Timothy, you're going to face some hard times because there are going to be people out there who don't want to hear the Word of God. There are going to be people out there who are going to rebel against you when they hear you preaching the Word of God. There's going to be people out there that's going to take you to task when you try to teach the truth. Timothy, there's going to be some times when it's going to be a difficult matter to be a teacher of the gospel. Because there are people out there, Timothy, who are going to want things their way. They're going to want things to be according to the way they think it ought to be rather than what God wants it to be, and they're going to give you a hard time. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he goes on and says in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. What Paul is telling Timothy is that there's going to be some times out there when you're going to be confronted or you're going to face people who don't want to hear about the truth. When preaching the gospel is going to be very difficult, and there are going to be people who are going to be lovers of themselves. And what you need to do, these people may be those who have a form of godliness, but it's not according to what God says they ought to be doing. And you need to stand up for the truth, even when perilous times come. So this evening, as we think about Job and we think about the days and times that Paul is speaking about, hard times may come in our life, perilous times may come, difficult times may come. Number one, if we lose possessions, if we lose financial holdings, if we lose family members, if there's trials and troubles such as Job went through, or in difficult times, in trying to live the Christian life, and trying to teach others. So what do we do in those times? Well, we just press on and do what God says, because Paul encouraged Timothy to be a man of God who would carefully follow the doctrine of Christ. Timothy, don't let these perilous times, these people in these times hinder you. Be a man of God who lives the truth, who loves the truth, who obeys the truth, and who teaches the truth. Because I'm telling you, Timothy, if you'll make it through these times of trouble and these perilous times and these times of difficulty when other people are trying to stop the truth, then what's going to happen is the ultimate reward in the end is much better than anything that's going to ever happen to you whenever you falter or give up or become weak. So let's see what he said in verses 1 through 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come. Again, now remember, he already told him in chapter 3 there's going to be perilous times coming. And then he said, Timothy, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, verse 5, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And the next three verses then are very important, because listen to what Paul says regarding his life and the life of others who will make it through troublesome times, who will make it through perilous times, who will make it through difficult times, and always be faithful to God. Verse 6, Paul says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing. So when troubles come, trials come, difficulties come, when we're faced with people around us, or maybe even in the church, when there may be those who rise up and want to heap teachers or tickle their ears and don't want to hear the truth, what do we need to do? Endure these troublesome times. Hold on to our faith, because the crown of righteousness is laid up for us. We're not going to sing this song, but I'm going to read a few verses of it. If I can find the number, 386, turn there, 386. We won't sing it, but I want to read the first two stanzas, and I will not read the chorus, but I'll read the first two stanzas in regard to troublesome times. The song goes like this. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God, saved from the chastening rod, seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Verse 2. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we then will fly, glory to share. So there are going to be troublesome times for you, for everyone, and for me. What do? When times like this come around, we spend our time serving God. We keep on serving God. Secondly, tonight, there's going to be times of temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Many of you could quote all 11 verses without even opening your Bible. But in this setting, Jesus was taken up and tempted by the devil. And when we see the attitude of Jesus when he was tempted, it's one that we need to have in our life today. He had Scripture on his mind. He quoted Scripture that helped defend him against temptation. Temptation, times of temptation are going to come. Temptation to the flesh, temptation to the eyes, temptation to the pride of life. Because those are the things that pull us away. These are the things that tempt us. And when they have conceived, they bring forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death, James tells us. But look at Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. So the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. That would have been a temptation if if I had been without food that long, if I'd still been alive. It didn't take long for me to get hungry. I don't think it takes you overnight, maybe a day or two, and we get pretty hungry, don't we? I had a pretty good meal today for lunch, and I ate a good breakfast. But I was hungry at lunch. I could eat again right now. But this man, he had been out without food how long? He was up there 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. So he fasted that long. So the devil puts a temptation from him, you know, command these stones to be made bread. That's a temptation. But Jesus responded with Scripture. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And when you throw yourself down, what did he tell him? He said, throw yourself down. And if you're the Son of God, what it's been written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it's written again, quoted Scriptures, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, verse 8, the devil tempted him to him on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. That next verse is very important. I don't care if you're 14 years old, 12 years old, or 44 years old, or 84 years old. Look at that verse. Next verse. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. When did the devil leave him? It was not until he had tempted him in every aspect of life in which we can be tempted. And Jesus refused each time to give in. He had Scripture that he quoted, turned the devil away, and he left him. When we're tempted, when you go through times of temptation as a teenager, when you go through times of temptation as a young man or a young lady, when we go through times of temptation in business, in society, or in any regard of life, remember, if we'll withstand it long enough, we'll get through it, we'll get over it, we'll get past it, and we can move on. And that's another victory over the devil. Go to James chapter 1 and let's look at those verses I mentioned a few minutes ago. James chapter 1, another area of life wherein we are tempted. James 1 verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. He goes on then in verse 16 and says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. It's important for us to realize that we can be deceived and we will be deceived if we don't keep our guard up. Remember the Scriptures. Keep the faith. Stand firm in what we believe in. Realize what we know. Go back to Job chapter 1 and verse 6. We were talking about him earlier. And when you look at Job and the temptation, the things that happened to him, I want you to notice in the same regard that we are tempted of and through the devil, the temptations of life. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Look at verse 6 of Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Temptation is among us. It comes from within us. If we're tempted within ourselves and we look out and we want to gratify the flesh, or we want to gratify the taste, or we want to gratify the feel, or we want to gratify things of the human nature, the human side. And so what we do is we resist the devil. There's going to be times in life when I'm going to be tempted and you're going to be tempted. We need to resist, because God gives us the ability, because Paul tells us that God has not allowed us to be tempted beyond which we cannot resist. There's no temptation comes our way that which we cannot resist. Look at the third point, times of life, times of joy and happiness. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. We study these verses in their entirety and in a thorough manner when Jan taught the class. But verse 4, the middle part of that verse. There's a time to laugh. There's several other things. We've already talked about being sad and troublesome times, weeping and mourning. He said, and a time to laugh. There's a time in life when we're joyful. And it comes for obvious reasons. We're joyful when people hear the gospel and they obey the first principles and are baptized into Christ and their sins are washed away. We rejoice over that. We rejoice when someone repents who has not been faithful in serving God and they come back to the Lord and they repent of their sin, they confess their wrong and they pray and God forgives them. There's rejoicing in that. We have reason to rejoice when anyone has their sins washed away in baptism or anyone comes back to God and gets forgiveness of the sins that may have overtaken them and taken them away from God. There's times of joy and there's times of happiness. There's times of joy in our life when there's a child born into a family. There's times of joy in a life when there's a wedding and a young man and young lady have chosen each other for life and they're both determined to serve God together. There's joy in life when you see people growing in the church and you see young men becoming teachers and working and beginning to serve in a public manner. When you see young ladies growing up and listening to their mothers and the ladies in the church who've taught them and they too are able to do certain things and to help and they turn out to be good Christian ladies and Christian men. These are times of joy and times of happiness. Philippians 4 and verse 4, Paul talks about the fact that we ought to be joyful people. That there are times of joy in life if we'll look to God and let Him be the center of our life. Look to Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. And let's read that verse. Luke 15 and verse 7. And we'll also read verse 10. Jesus is talking about the lost sheep. And when the shepherd went out and found the sheep that was lost, there was joy over one that was found and brought back to safety. That's in a sense in showing that when there are those in the church who would fall away, that would become unfaithful, when they're found and they're brought back, there's joy over a sinner that repenteth. Verse 7, he says, of Luke chapter 15, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then verse 10, he says, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What joy there is to know that when people are being restored to the truth, when they come back to God and they're faithful again, we ought to rejoice in that. And there is rejoicing among Christians. So there's times in life when we're really happy about things. When people come back and they're now faithful to God. When people are baptized into Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. And the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was traveling from Jerusalem, he had been to Jerusalem for to worship under the old law, and he was going back to Ethiopia. He was the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia, and the Spirit told Philip to go down and on the road that goes to Gaza, and he went down and he met this man. And he asked the eunuch as he was reading from the Scriptures, he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless some man guide me? And so he asked him to guide him, and so he got up in the chariot and they rode along, and Philip, he preached unto him Jesus. And after he preached unto him Jesus, in the course of that teaching, somehow the eunuch understood that because of Jesus and what God has done through him, I need to be baptized. So they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, thou mayest. And he stopped the chariot, and they went down the water, and he baptized him. But notice now, after he was baptized, he knew his sins was washed away. And look at verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. It's a joyful thing to know that people are baptized into Christ. It's a joyful thing to know that people are restored back to the church when they're unfaithful. A few years ago, I don't remember how many years it's been, probably I would say 10, maybe 12. There was a young man who started attending where Helen and I and Jason worshiped. He started attending with a classmate, a friend of his that was in the same grade. They were both at that time in the 11th grade. And they both played football. They were real good football players. And they were both good students. But this young man had a background of being really what little he knew about religion was denominationalism. And he didn't know a lot about that. He was living with his grandmother. And this young man, and incidentally, they both worship at the same place now. And they both have children. They're both fine young men. They're upright and they're faithful. They worship together in the same congregation. Not that one, but another congregation. But nonetheless, he began to attend services. He began to come to the teenage class. And at that time, we had about 18 teenagers in that class. The big class. And one after another was baptized. But the day that he stepped out and came forward and was baptized, when he came up out of the water and we started out of the baptistry, he looked at me and he said, "How soon can I get my name on the list to start helping with the table, reading the Bible?" Before we got, he was dripping wet and putting a towel around. He said, "How soon can I get my..." He was hungry. He was ready to go. He was so happy to be baptized into Christ. And before we got home from services that day, there were people from all over the county calling and saying, "We heard about him being baptized. We heard about him being baptized." You see, Christians were happy. They were happy. We're joyful when someone's baptized that's brought up in a family when the dad and the mother are Christians and they're taught the truth. But when someone comes out of a family that knows very little about the Bible or religion or anything regarding the truth, and they start attending for several months and then for a year, and they see an influence of someone else, and then what they do when they are baptized into Christ, they understand the impact that it's had in their life. "I'm forgiven of my sins. I have learned the truth. Now I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. I'm happy." So tonight, when we think about the lesson, I want each one of us to think about who we are and what we're doing. Perhaps how long you've been a Christian, how long I've been a Christian. Have we forgotten what happiness is all about? Have we forgotten the joy of knowing that we're forgiven? Have we forgotten the joy of how good it is to assemble together to sing and to pray and to listen and to share and to teach and to worship God in spirit and truth? It's a joyful thing. We need to rejoice and we need to be happy because we're a Christian. So there's going to be times when we have troubles. There may even be some perilous times. There are going to be some sad times. But there's going to be some happy times. There's going to be some good times. But there's also going to be some times of temptation. So to make those times of temptation go away quicker, get through them, overcome them, and to make those hard and difficult times go away faster, be able to go through them quicker, we need to be able to say that I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I have God and His Word. I'm glad I have the opportunity to pray and talk to my Father. Because He knows and He cares. He cares for us. Look at number 683. I want to read that song and then a lesson will be yours. 683. It says, "If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in His promises grand." Often we are troubled and tired, verse 2, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Verse 3, "Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust Him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today." So, this morning, we set our clocks forward. Time is moving fast. We're in daylight savings time. One day, time's going to end for me. Going to end for you. What Solomon says is, make the most of your time. Be happy with the time you have. thank God for the time we have and for the blessings we have, and use our time with joy in enjoying the good that God blesses us with. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that and repent of your sins and be baptized, you can leave this building rejoicing because your sins are forgiven. If you're here and you're a Christian and something in your life needs to be corrected in a public way and we can assist you with that, please come while Belmer leads us in the invitation song.